This is Outlook on the BBC World Service. And now let's go back 40 years when Spain was ruled by General Franco. A revolutionary song sung by the opponents of General Franco during the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s. After the war, Franco remained in power until his death in 1975. A controversial hardline leader regarded by many as a dictator, he was the target of several unsuccessful assassination attempts. In August 1964, a young man was arrested by the Spanish secret police and charged with involvement in a conspiracy to kill General Franco at a football cup final in Madrid. The young man wasn't Spanish, he was Scottish. Stuart Christie had come from Glasgow and had only just turned 18. 40 years later, and Stuart Christie is with me now in the studio, having just written a book entitled Granny Made Me an Anarchist, General Franco, the Angry Brigade, and me. Now, before we talk about what happened in Spain, Stuart, Granny, you're blaming her for making you an anarchist.
Well, I suspect my granny will be turning in her grave at this description of her responsibility for my anarchism. But in fact, she wasn't an anarchist. She was Presbyterian and came from a long tradition of a covenanting family in central Scotland. But it was the moral templates that she provided which gave me the fitted best with the ideas of anarchism.
Explain what you mean by that, the moral templates, and also what role she played in your upbringing, of course.
Well, my grandmother brought me up. Most of my childhood was spent with my grandmother. And it was the upbringing that she provided, the example that she set in her everyday life, imbued me with ideas of fairness and justice and doing the right thing.
Was she very strict and very moral?
No, not particularly strict. She was, basically, it was a Presbyterian background. It was the idea of the Knoxian tradition of the sovereignty of the individual, which fitted best with, as I later came to understand it, the ideas of anarchism.
So as you grew up, and as we heard, you were in Spain, you know, when you'd only just turned 18, did you become a very politically conscious young man?
Absolutely. I mean, in Scotland at that time, from 1956 to 1964, it was a very radical period. You had the Polaris submarine missile-based submarines based in the Clyde.
The nuclear missile.
You had the Cuban Missile Crisis. So people were extremely radical at that time. And the only way of actually achieving anything was by protest, because we were basically functioning outside the party system.
So then in August 1964, in Spain, the Spanish secret police arrested you. When and where did they do that?
I was arrested at the offices of American Express, having gone there to collect my final instructions to meet my contact in Madrid, to whom I was to deliver the explosives, which were intended, as I later discovered, for an assassination attempt on Franco at the Estadio Bernabeu, the football stadium, either in the stadium itself or in the car park. The importance of that being that Franco used football as an important element in his political machinations inside Spain. I mean, Real Madrid was the flag that he flew.
And the plan was to assassinate him at this very symbolic moment in front of thousands of people. Now, as you say, you didn't exactly know what the final plan was, but you were involved in something and you knew that.
Absolutely. I mean, my job was I'd offered my services as a volunteer. And the job that I was given was to act as a liaison contact courier, taking the explosives from Paris into Madrid.
So where did this trail start? You're from Glasgow. Did it start there?
No, the trail actually started in London, where I came into contact with members of the Spanish exiled anarchist movement, the CNT, and their secret planning organisation, Defensa Interior, to whom I offered my services. But the problem was that the organisation had been infiltrated, because in France there was a quid pro quo going on between the French security services and the Spanish security services. This was at the time of the OAS activities, who were operating from Madrid. And the FIGL, who were operating against Franco, were based in Paris. So in as a trade-off, the French security services were infiltrating agents, as were the Spaniards, into the XL movement.
And you subsequently then travelled to Paris to collect the explosives and take them to Spain?
I had instructions to say that things were ready, and I was to travel to Paris, make the connections, and pick up the material I was to take to Spain. And I travelled by train to Toulouse, Perpignan, and then hitchhiked from Perpignan to Barcelona and then on to Madrid.
Carrying explosives?
Carrying the explosives, which were tucked into, were basically sellotape, elastoplasted rather, under a very thick jumper, which was intended to cover up the bulkiness of the explosives.
So essentially you had explosives strapped to yourself as you travelled from France to Madrid?
Well, certainly crossing the frontier. I mean, that was the object of, you know, getting over the frontier with to avoid being searched. If the bag was searched, then I stood a good chance of getting through.
And in your own mind, I mean, you explosives, you know what they must have been intended to, whether you knew the final target or not. You had no problems in your own mind doing such a thing. You felt it was the right thing to do.
It was the right thing to do at that time. I mean, obviously, you know, these questions come to your mind later on when you're considering the possible unintended consequences, particularly of explosive devices. But the previous attempts, I mean, the particular attempt I was involved in there was the 30th, and all of the attempts had targeted specifically Franco and his entourage. Now, there's always the danger that innocent people might be killed, but that had never, of all the attempts that had been attempted against Franco, none of them had involved injury to any innocent person.
When you were arrested, how were you treated?
Well, I was beaten up badly, but I wasn't tortured. But that wasn't the case with my contact, Fernando Carballo Blanco, who was strapped to a chair and was pistol whipped and severely beaten up in front of my eyes.
And the thing is, you were guilty of involvement in the conspiracy, and you had carried the explosive. So what were you able to tell? I mean, they presumably wanted to know contacts, information, and so on.
Well, basically, they had all the information beforehand, but they required a trial, and the trial would obviously be a public event, so they needed to have some statement, some confession, and they needed to have the evidence. Otherwise, very few people would have believed it.
And you provided that?
I signed a statement eventually after 4 days.
Now, you were sentenced to 20 years in prison in Spain, but you were then released early. Why was that?
Well, there were diplomatic negotiations going on at the time over Gibraltar, Spain's entry into the common market, and, of course, the lucrative tourism trade, which Spain basically depended upon.
Geopolitics.
Absolutely, yeah. But I was told that... So basically I was a problem which Franco had to get rid of. And I was told to write to my mother and ask her to address a personal letter to Franco, and he would respond favourably. But of course there were so many other mothers whose appeals to Franco were never heard. I was fortunate in as much that I was a foreigner and someone he wanted to get rid of.
Just out of interest, I mean, as you say, Granny Made Me an Anarchist, the title of the book. At this time, was your grandmother still alive?
She was still alive, yes.
What did she make of all this?
Well, I was expecting a belting from her when I got home, but no, she welcomed me into her bosom.
So she was, in a sense, forgiving.
Absolutely,
to her grandson.
Yeah.
Now, you returned to the United Kingdom. In the 1970s, there were a number of anarchists, collectively known as the Anger Brigade in the UK. They were involved in several bomb attacks on establishment properties, on property, not people. When you came back from Spain, did you develop close links with this Anger Brigade? Because, again, the Anger Brigade is mentioned in the title.
Well, that was coincidental. I mean, the Anger Brigade didn't actually appear until 1970. I came back in the late autumn of 1967, and from 67 through to 1970 there was a gradual build-up of radicalism, and activism, particularly following the events of May in Paris in 1968, but particularly with the advent of the Heath government, in which he launched a campaign of legislation against the trade unions and self-management groups, and it was a fairly repressive period, and it triggered the response which came to be known as the Ink Brigade, in terms of this throwing up this group.
Just one other thing. I mean, you've been involved in journalism since then. You've become a journalist, work as a TV news editor. Is it true that before you set off for Spain back in 64, you actually did a TV interview in which you admitted to the interviewer that if you had a chance to assassinate General Franco, you would do so?
Yeah, that was an unfortunate position I was put in by Malcolm Muggeridge, who was the question why, and I was a panel of... The question was, why anarchism?
Malcolm Muggeridge being a well-known TV presenter in Britain.
He was quite sympathetic to anarchism as well. And there were six anarchists there. I was one of the younger ones, 17 at the time. And unfortunately, he said, academically, would you kill, for example, General Franco? And of course, being put in that position, I had no option but to say yes, little thinking that within 3 weeks I would actually be in the cellars of the Brigada Politico Social, Franco's secret police.
Now, 40 years on, you've written the book. You were, shall we say, an angry young man at the time. 40 years on, how do you look back now on everything that happened? Do you look back with regret, possibly?
No. I mean, I'm pleased that the way things have panned out the way they have. I've learned from it. I learned enormously from my time in Spain, about myself, and about the world at large.
Stuart Christie, thanks very much indeed. And Stuart Christie's book, Granny Made Me an Anarchist, is published by Scribner. You're listening to Outlook on the BBC World Service.